Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't this a beautiful day? You knew that yesterday. The weathermen, weather women said today was going to be beautiful, and it just makes it a little extra nice coming together. You'll notice this month we are incorporating and utilizing our Pathfinder group in special ways. With serving in prayers and scripture reading and communion. And you'll notice I was greeted. I had a terrific greeting coming in from Michaela and Hannah. You'll notice our Pathfinder age group will greet you as you come in the door. And I just want to mention, church, that group needs the church. They need you and you need them. We need them, don't we? So it's our college-age young adult group, and be praying for them. I would ask that you continually pray for them because it's a unique age that the Satan attacks us in our life, in our early 20s, and he comes at us very strongly questioning everything that we've taught, everything we've been taught, everything we believe growing up. And so it's a challenging time. But we appreciate that age, and so it's going to be a special month. Today's sermon, flip in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Today's sermon, I have to give a shout-out to our sister Lori Varnell. Lori writes devotionals and posts them on her Facebook page that is for women. It's primarily designed for women of faith. And so she writes a devotional every day, and one in particular caught my eye a little while back, and that's kind of been a part of today's sermon, just in my thinking and some great thoughts that she shared. And I want to tell you, ladies, on Wednesday nights coming up in the next quarter, which will start March, so March, April, May, on Wednesday nights, Lori will be teaching a class in the fellowship room for ladies, and you're not going to want to miss it. It is going to be outstanding. And so we're looking forward to that. Exodus chapter 2. So this is the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And before they come out of Egypt, they are enduring great hardships as slaves in Egypt. And Exodus chapter 2 verse 23 says, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery. And they cried out for help. And their cry for rescue... their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." I want to remind you, if you are struggling right now, if life is hard for you right now, and we face difficulties of all kinds, it may be that worry and anxiety is a hardship for you. It may be addiction. It may be sin, loneliness. It may be a relationship that you're having trouble with right now. It may be your health. It may be grief. But I want to remind you of one thing this morning, and that is God knows. Amen. Don't ever think he doesn't know. And don't ever think he doesn't care. And we find in Scripture, from the beginning to end of Scripture, God cares about us. Every part of our life he knows and he understands, and he is working for our benefit. So the Israelites, they were experiencing hardship here as slaves, and they cry out to God, and God heard. And then Exodus, flip to Exodus 3:7, the next chapter says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings." And then things got worse. They complained, and Moses talked to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh had the slaves, in addition to what they did with bricks, he had them go gather their own straw and had to keep up the same quota, and so it just got worse and worse. And they cried out to God, and God rescues them. And God, remember, he caused the 10 plagues one after the other. God shows his strength. He sends plagues on Egypt, and then they are led out of Egypt. And before they go out of Egypt, remember, God, through God's power, this is providence, they plundered the Egyptians. Basically, the Egyptians said, here's gold and here's valuable things, take it. And they did. So they come out of Egypt with quite a bit. And remember, God parts the Red Sea. They cross that. God collapses the sea. It kills the soldiers. It kills Pharaoh. So here they are. They are about 30 days into this journey. Every day, God's been leading them with a cloud. Every night as they travel, God would lead them with a pillar of fire. 30 days. And then Exodus 16, verse 2. Exodus 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The whole congregation grumbled. They had seen everything that God had done. And here they are, not 30 days into deliverance, being taken to the promised land, freedom, and they're griping, and they're complaining, all of them. And Scripture tells us, we read on in verse 3, and we'll see exactly what they gripe about. But before we do, I just have to remind us as humans how quick we are to forget how good God is. Amen. How quick we are. If you're like me, it's amazing. I can be on a spiritual high with what God has done and how good life is. And then it doesn't take but a day or two not going right. And all of a sudden life's bad. This is bad. That's bad. Everything's bad. What do you want? You know, crabby, cranky. And not that I doubt God, but in my prayers, I might cry out to God. God, this is frustrating. This is hard. And how quick we forget how good He is. How quick we forget He knows. And in this situation, the whole congregation, they're crying out, and we'll see that they're hungry. What's ironic is God knows they're hungry. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying this bunch of grumblers, God knew they were hungry. And God would have fed them. But they whined and they complained. Have you ever thought about this? We as Americans today, 2020, we have more than we've ever had. Is that true? We've had more than we've ever had. In fact, our economy is relatively good right now. I'm not stepping deep into that water, okay? But it's relatively good. I don't follow a whole lot of news, but I follow enough to know that we're not apparently in dire straits at the moment. We have it pretty good. And do we grumble any less? Do we complain any less as Americans? You ever watch a reality TV show? Flip on your TV and go find a reality TV show that's kind of real, kind of not. But anyway, what you'll find is a whole lot of complaining, a whole lot of whining. And that's what the Israelites did. Verse 3, here's what they said. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We don't talk this way, by the way, but what they're saying is, oh, how we wish we would have just died there. When we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And it amazes me how God didn't just strike them dead right here. And God did almost wipe this nation out and start over with Moses. They wish they had died in Egypt. Really? Just 30 days into this. It's too hard. We're too hungry. They no doubt romanticize how good they had it in Egypt, because just 30 days earlier they're crying and complaining, and this is, you know, God, please rescue us. They did have food in Egypt that they didn't have here, but they were also slaved and whipped and beaten and abused. And now they're ready to go back. It's amazing how when life gets hard, how quick we are to want to go back. And as Christians, if you're a Christian in this room, you have left a life of sin. That's what you've done. And sometimes we're tempted to go back to a life of sin. We want a quick fix. And sometimes we think sin is a quick fix. I remember when I was 8, it was coming up on a birthday, and mom and dad told me that they would get me a bicycle for my birthday. I was pretty excited about that. And they said they had come upon one that this is probably, really probably about a month before my birthday. They said, "Now we have one that we could get you and give it to you now. Or if you want to wait, we'll buy you a new one on your birthday." And the one that they could get me at that moment had the handlebars that go up like this. Okay, come out. Not in a cool way that the bikes do now, right? Not simulating a chopper motorcycle, no. Anyway, just the handlebars come out here like you wouldn't want them. A banana seat, if you know what that looks like. And it was a girl's bike, so the bar. Now, who decided that boys and girls' bikes would be distinguished this way? I don't know. But anyway, it was a girl's bike, so the bar went down. But I'm 8, and it's a now or wait and get a new one. What do you think I did?
Now.
Now. Now. I'll take that right now. And I did like it, and I did enjoy it. And I wanted it quick. I'll take the now, please. But there were times when I stopped and thought, you know, self, if you'd have just waited, look at what you could have had. But we want the quick fix. We want the right now. And the Israelites, they had this journey that they were on, that God was leading them on, and they were hungry, and they wanted to go back because this was hard. They wanted to go back to Egypt, but what they forgot is Egypt was hard too. And here's a statement you may have seen or heard before: choose your hard. Makes a lot of sense. I am continually, well, I say continually, I go back and forth between dieting and living. Right? Dieting and living. I go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth. I've been living a lot lately, so I'm about to do some dieting. Quite a bit of it. Weight loss is hard. It is difficult to lose weight. Okay? It's difficult. You have to tell yourself no a whole bunch. You have to eat things that are not near as enjoyable or not near as handy. They don't nearly hit the spot as the junk food. And it takes time. I've eaten and sacrificed day after day after day after day. I get on the scale, nothing. And I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to throw that scale through a glass door. It's hard. But being overweight is also hard. It's also hard. I bend over, tie my shoes. I'm on a time limit. It's like the time's ticking because I'm going to pass out if I don't get this shoe tied, right? Being overweight is hard. I don't feel as good. I don't have the energy. I don't like myself in any pictures, which I normally probably wouldn't either, but the more overweight I am, for me, I don't like that, and I know many of you can relate to that. Being overweight is hard. So we have this idea in our mind that, well, this, I'm going to choose the easy, or I'm going to choose what's better for me because this is hard, and we don't realize that's hard too. Choose your hard. Sin is hard. And that's the point of today's sermon, church. We crave sin sometimes. It's easy. I don't know what the devil beats you up about, or I don't know how he tempts you, but I know he has something for each of us. It's probably a relatively short list, but there's some powerful ones that he comes at you with, and that's easy. But sin is also hard, the consequences of sin. So the Israelites, they were looking for a temporary fix. How quickly we do that. We live in a society that wants a quick fix for what makes me feel good. And we see it. It's so widely seen and it's growing. People who struggle with same-sex attractions, everyone around them rushes to tell them, you be you, you live your life. And they don't realize that God has a better plan because they're dealing with something that's it's a psychological dysfunction, it's a moral dysfunction, and people rush to tell us, you do what you want, what's best for you, and yet God tells us in His inspired word that He has an eternal plan for us, and His plan is better. People with gender identity issues, I hurt for these people because they live in a world that's telling them the wrong solution. And it is a psychological problem that will not be fixed by living out certain urges. And that's true for all of us, church. There, for every one of us in here, there are things that we desire to be and do, and it will not make us whole, and it will not give us joy. God has a better plan. When we're tempted by, it may be gossip that you're tempted by. It may be greed. It may be angry outbursts. It may be lust. It may be immodesty. But there's always a choice that seems better in the moment, and we don't realize that choice is hard too. God tells us to tell ourselves no. That's difficult, but in the long run, it's better. Yesterday, I'm working on replacing a couple doorknobs in the house, which might sound simple, and some of you are really handy with things, and so it is simple. Good for you. But for those of us that are not handy, it's not simple. Have you ever tried to take a doorknob off not knowing how that thing comes off? Trust me, they make that to stay on. We have one that goes to a closet under our stairs, and the handle broke recently, and it came off. So when you go to open that door to get something out of there, you're holding the handle, and the door is still shut, and it's not, you can't get it open. So I'd push that handle back on, and if I hold it just right and push it just right, I could get it to open. My family could not, and so they would complain about that periodically. We tried different things that did not work to get that to stay on. So anyway, I have a replacement door handle, and I'm working on this. Well, I know how to put the one on, but I can't get this one off. And I'm working on it. And I'm trying to break it off. Well, they make that to where you can't break it off. It comes off one way. And it's frustrating. And that's why I don't like repairing things around the house, because it never goes easy for me. I never know how to do it till I'm done with it. Then I could do it. Too late. It's already been difficult. But we forget the other choice is difficult too. To stay where we are is difficult. To go back to sin is difficult. All these things that we think might be better, they are difficult too. John 16:33, look at this. I have said these things. This is Jesus speaking to his apostles toward the end. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation. Point is, the Christian life is hard. And if you're new to this life, we were talking in our class this morning, it is far better than to live a worldly life. It is far better. So don't misunderstand me. I sound like I'm contradicting myself. The Christian life with God is full of joy. It is full of peace. It is so much better. And it is also, at times, really hard. It's still hard. God never promised us it would be easy. And in fact, Jesus promised us the opposite. He said, it will be hard. You will have tribulation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. The Israelites were not tempted beyond their ability. Were they hungry? Evidently. Not beyond their ability. God was going to take care of them. And when we are tempted by sin, it is never beyond our ability. God's way is also hard, but God provides a way for us. Matthew 7:13, remember this scripture, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This scripture teaches us fairly clearly that most people will not make it to heaven. It's not an easy road. I'm not saying that God has made it so that he's trying to weed people out or God has made it difficult. It just is difficult to keep your faith in God and keep trusting in God instead of choosing the quick fix that Satan is offering. It's hard. The way is hard that leads to life. But we have to remember the point of today's sermon is Satan's way is also hard. He's the liar. He says it's easy. It's not. Satan's way is also hard. In fact, when people sin, they suffer. I'm not talking about eternal suffering. I'm talking about now. When you and I fall short, we suffer. When people in the world sin, they suffer, right? People live in a lifestyle that's not God's, whether it's homosexuality or the transgender life, whether it's living together before we're married, all the ways that God says that's not the way. Our society's normalized it, and God says, my way is eternally holy. And Satan says his way is easy, but it's not, because we don't find peace in those things. When people gossip, they suffer. Why? Because there's bitterness. There's negativity. It's bad news. That's what we're gossiping about. But there's negativity in their heart. When people lash out in anger, they suffer. Why? Because they don't have peace. Greedy people suffer. Why? Because the almighty dollar or what it will buy never satisfies. You're chasing something you can never be filled with. And the more you have of it, the more you worry about it. Judgmental people suffer. When people lie, they suffer. Because they might be found out. And so when you fall short and sin, remember, here's something an old preacher told me recently. Suffering is close to temptation. We probably not thought of it that way. When Adam and Eve were staring at the fruit, and Eve, she takes it first. She takes that fruit and eats of it. She wasn't thinking about suffering, but suffering was about to come. Suffering is close to temptation, because when we sin, we do suffer. Think about this. I'll give you three examples from Scripture real quick. Cain killed Abel, and then he suffered. He suffered with guilt. He suffered with consequences. His parents suffered. Joseph's brothers, when they sold him as a slave and they lied to their father Jacob and said he was dead, they suffered. They suffered regret and guilt, and their father suffered for many years. When King David slept with Bathsheba, and he killed her husband, he suffered with guilt. She suffered. They lost their child over it. In fact, Psalm 32, if you've ever read this, this is a psalm about David when he's regarding that sin with Bathsheba. And David says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And that verse 1, basically that speaks to what I'm saying about sin is hard, because when you sin, you don't have a clear conscience. You have guilt. And David says, boy, you're blessed if your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, if your sins are forgiven. Verse 2, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent," when would that be? David's talking about, remember when Nathan came to David and he gave him the story about the sheep and the rich man, the poor man, and the rich man stole the poor man's ewe lamb, and then Nathan makes that statement, "You are the man." He's talking to David. You're guilty. Between that time and when David committed the sin, that's what verse 3 is. David committed the sin, and then he lived with it. You ever tried to do that? Live with sin? Justify it? Just keep going? Just don't think about it. David says, "I tried not to think about it. It was still there. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me." You ever felt that that conscience. When in your soul, you know you should not have done that. In your soul, you know you're not living right by God. And God's hand is upon us. And that's what David is talking about here. I say all that to say that's the devil's way. The devil tempted David into that and said, David, you're going to love this. Come on. And David suffered. It was hard. I'll close with just two passages real quick, both from Galatians 5. This is a part of Scripture that shows us here's what the devil's side looks like if you want to live his way. Here's what God's side looks like. Both of them come with an element of difficulty. This is the devil's way. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. It's amazing. How does the devil sell us on any of this stuff? It sounds so bad, but that's what sin leads to. And here's what God is offering. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why do I highlight self-control? That's the hard part. It's one of the hard parts of being a Christian and following God is we have to tell ourselves no. So the next time you have to tell yourself no in order to say yes to God, remember this. This may be hard, but the devil's way is also hard. And it is eternally hard. And so God's way is what I want. I want what's hard, and I want to be with God because His way is far superior. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you're here this morning, there's something on your heart. Numerous times I've had ones of you say, you know, I almost came forward. And I understand that when, you know, sometimes you would like the church to pray for you and you would also not like all the attention. But if you're here this morning and there's something that's weighing on you, when you come, we will come and sit with you and we'll lift you up to God. And if there's one that has something we can do that, we'd love to do that. If there's one who's never given their life to Christ and wants to do so and have their sins washed away, we'd love nothing more than to help you with that. If you'd come while we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tender, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus.